I wonder if you can cast your minds back to perhaps a number of years ago when you first learned to ride a bike. And if it's anything like my experience, you know, you were told all the theory and you were put on the saddle and somebody held on to the back and off you went and you thought you were brilliant. Then they let go. And then suddenly you find, I'm on my own. And if you're anything like me, you fall off. But you eventually try it and try it, don't you? And eventually you get there in the end. But you're on, suddenly you discover you're on your own. And as we grow up through our years and into various ministries and tasks and jobs, whatever it is, there's sometimes a training involved. But there comes a time when you're on your own, whatever that training may be, whether it's in the NHS, whatever it is, you learn all the theory, perhaps about giving injections. You know, you can inject an orange and things like that, but suddenly it comes a day when there's a real arm there, which isn't yours, and it's somebody else's. And I imagine you could put that into most areas of work. You suddenly, you're on your own. The training is over, and you've got now to put it into operation. You've got to put all that training to the test. And in some small sense, this is what's happening to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ here at the beginning of Luke chapter 9. They have been given a commission. And now they've seen the Lord Jesus Christ minister. They've seen the Lord, they've heard the Lord Jesus Christ teach. They've seen the Lord Jesus Christ heal. They've seen the Lord Jesus Christ cast out demons. They've even obviously seen the Lord Jesus Christ raise the widow of Nain's son from the dead. And three of them saw obviously the Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. The others would have known about that from what they'd heard. But now there comes a time when they're on their own. The Lord sends them out. And they're to go out and preach the gospel. The kingdom of God. They're to go out and heal the sick. They're going to go out and drive out demons. And suddenly, from having the Lord with them, physically at least, now they're going to become Christ's ambassadors. And for this ministry and for this task, they're going to be granted power to work miracles and the power and authority to over evil spirits. You see, demons were to be cast out and diseases are to be healed. It tells us there quite clearly in that first verse. Then he, the Lord Jesus Christ, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And when it says there that he gave them power, what it actually means, power actually equals might. It equals the ability to do something. In themselves, they couldn't do it. They were like anyone else. But the Lord enables them. The Lord gives them the power to do the task that he has set before them. And he gives the apostles, or the disciples here, the power to perform miracles. And also, this will be to a much wider audience, so to speak, than the Lord had hitherto before. Although, of course, the crowds flocked to where the Lord Jesus Christ was, with these folk going, hey, there'll be more opportunity for more people to hear. But he didn't only just give them power. He gave them authority. And basically what that means, when he's given them authority, he's given them right, or the right to use the power that he's given them. And the Lord Jesus Christ is showing once again his divine greatness and his deep, deep compassionate love through these disciples. And that's still the same today. When we are asked to minister on behalf of him, wherever that ministry may be, whatever that ministry may involve, he gives us the power, the enabling to do it. He gives us the authority to do it. And so when we perhaps stand as in the open air and someone says, what right have you got to be here? So we've got every right to be here. We have the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have every right, every authority. And it's interesting, including among this ministry, of course, is Judas Iscariot. The Lord, in his sovereign purposes, allows this man to be involved in this wonderful, glorious ministry. But it's also a reminder, isn't it? A very sad and a very tragic reminder that today, within many churches, pulpits, there are unsaved ministers, unsaved pastors, unsaved vicars, and whatever else they may call themselves. And sadly, some of them are in positions of great influence. One's only got to read some of the statements of some of the hierarchy in the church in our land, and it's enough to make you weep. There is clearly, it seems, very little trust in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to remember that these disciples had no power in themselves. And it's the same for you and I. Whatever ministry the Lord has given us or will give us, unless he is the one that enables us, we too will have no power, no ability, no enabling grace to carry that ministry through. It is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that enabled these men to do the task that the Lord had set them to do. And isn't it wonderful that he now gives these 12 disciples and gave them power and authority. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's so blatantly obvious that the more people that are involved, the higher the number of people that will hear. And that's surely the same principle today. The more believers who are involved in the ministry of sharing the gospel, whether it's over the fence with the neighbour, whether it is on the door, whether it's in the open air, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's at leisure, wherever it may be, the more that people are involved, the higher number of people that will hear. And they were sent out, of course, with instructions. He didn't just say, off you go. He gives them instructions there from verses 3 to 5. He's told them they're going to go out. They're going to teach. They're going to preach. They're going to heal. They're going to drive out demons. But they're going to do it in his name. They're not going to get a reputation. They're not going to suddenly become a conference speaker as an expert on demonology or healing the sick or whatever, or an evangelist par excellence. They're ordinary men with a wonderful, extraordinary Saviour who has enabled them. And they go out in his authority. And whatever we do today, if we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do it in his authority. We don't do it off our own back. We don't do it because we think it's a good idea. We do it with the power and the authority and the calling that comes from the Lord himself. And these disciples had a twofold purpose. And of course we have to remember that the Lord rules over all. He is going to establish his kingdom. And one day he will destroy all opposition and bring his people to full power and glory. But these are to go out. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God. That means they are to preach or to proclaim as a herald on the authority of a king or other person in authority. They are to preach the gospel of God to the people. They are to give assurance to the lost that there is hope. They are to go ahead and summon people to true repentance. And that surely is the same task for us today. We're not here to provide a substitute for social services. We're not here to try and emulate some other organisation. You see, we are unique. We have a singular task, that is to preach the gospel, to share with people about the love of Jesus. We can have all sorts of things wrong with us. But it's only the gospel that can cure the sin problem that we and everyone suffers from. And he tells us there, doesn't he? Preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And I'm sure that the Lord has the right thing there. The emphasis there is preaching the kingdom of God, preaching the gospel. Miracles are wonderful. They are wonderful when they happen. But they are of secondary importance when it comes to the gospel. The most healthiest person that's ever lived, if he dies without Christ, will go to hell. The sickliest person who's ever lived, if they trust in Jesus, will go to heaven when they die. And it's telling there, they are to preach or to herald. Now, a herald, of course, is a representative of a king. Now, that means he doesn't have his own message. He doesn't think, hey, what way can I sort this out? The herald is there to deliver the message entrusted him to him by the king. And he goes with that message with that king's authority. And where he's talking there about the kingdom of God, it's a reference to the blessing of divine rule. Preaching the kingdom of God means proclaiming God's absolute sovereignty in every sphere, in our hearts, our minds, our lives, our families, in every village, city, county, nation, world, in education, in commerce, in art, science, etc., etc. And he's given them quite explicit instructions, doesn't he? Take nothing for the journey. That means no extra goods, no extra aids to make provision for the future. What they're involved in is an important and urgent task. They're to lose no time in making all kinds of preparation. You know, you can spend a lifetime preparing, can't you? We'll just have another conference. We'll have another training session. We'll have another committee meeting. We'll see, hey, we can plan this, or hey, we can plan that. But the Lord says, no. It's an urgent task. It's an important task. You've got to get on with it. You know, as someone very facetiously once said, God so loved the world that he didn't send a committee. Just one, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save his people from their sins. They're to lose no time whatsoever. They're nothing in preparation. Go just as you are. And do trust in the Lord for their needs. Remember, they'd been with the Lord. They'd seen him operate. They'd heard him talk. Surely they'll be able to trust him. He will provide all that is necessary in the accomplishing of their task. Of course, they did go with absolute, extreme, total wealth. Of course, that was the message that they were entrusted with. That's where the wealth is. Not in the bits and pieces you take along, but in the message that you take. And that's what they've been entrusted with, this wonderful message. And the power they've been given to deliver it. The authority from the Lord to do it. And what a wonderful blessing it is that they represented the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells here that neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. You see, the word the staff, if you like, in a non-biblical context, would be like a magic wand or a shepherd's rod. But here it's a travelling staff. I suppose the nearest thing you might get to it here is you may see people walking with the sticks, you know? That sort of thing. It's a help for getting along the road. And the traveller's bag is what we would call, perhaps today, a rucksack. A bag for the road. And in that bag is what you put the things that you might need for the road. And the bag is also, there's a wallet there. Essentially, if you like a begging pouch. But the disciples, of course, are not allowed to beg. They are to be dependent, aren't they, upon providence and kindness of friends. It's so easy, isn't it, to fall into the worldliness and luxury in our Christian service. And they're not to waste time by looking for perhaps what we better lodgings. When they find a place to stay on their travels, they must stop there until the work is completed in that place. And when considering the place that they receive hospitality, it's not the food, or the quality of food, or the comfort that's important, but the desire within that home to hear the good news of the gospel. You see, the spreading of the gospel must have a priority over their personal likes and dislikes. You know, in modern ways you have to learn to take the tea how it comes, not how you perhaps like it, or whatever else may be produced in front of you. And people will not be able to say they have not heard, or they've not had an opportunity to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we live in today in a society which is largely ignorant of the gospel. By and large, people are totally ignorant of the gospel. And they need to hear. And if they don't come to us, we have to be like the Lord with these disciples. Send people out. And then, of course, when we do, even if people turn us away and call us nasty names and shut the door in our face or whatever it may be, they at least have had an opportunity to hear the gospel. When they shut the door on us, they're not shutting the door on us so much. Far, far more serious. They're shutting the door on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talks there, whenever you they will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. It's a shaking of dust is an act which both confutes and convicts people who reject the gospel. And today, it's a testimony against them, telling them what is to come, and still calling for repentance. And this symbolism of the shaking of the dust off one's feet, it's to make people realise the earnestness of the preaching that's going on, of the witnessing. They must, when they are not received, when they are rejected, they must shake the very dust from their feet as a testimony against them, to break ties with them. It is perhaps to serve as a last and an urgent call to repentance. And indeed it is a testimony. It is a symbolic action, a public demonstration of divine displeasure that rests on a place or a person who refuses the gospel. Indeed, it is a revelation of God's marked disapproval. You see, by rejecting the servant, they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how good we are, how effective we are, whether we've got the ability, as so-called, as some people say. None of that comes into it. When people reject us and our message, they are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And the disciples carried out the Lord's instructions. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. What the Lord had given them, what the Lord had instructed them, was sufficient for the task for which he had sent them out on. They were truly blessed, because they would have not have been on their own, actually, of course. They would have had the Lord with them. They would have had the spiritual presence of the Lord with them. And that we can apply to any Christian, wherever they are serving the Lord in this wide, wide world. Wherever we go, the Lord goes with us and ministers through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He prepares people for us to be able to share the gospel with. And he enables us to say what we are supposed to say. As I say, it's all of him. And what a blessing it is that it all relies on our sovereign God. And it says that they obviously covered a large area. They departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. That's a large area, I imagine, they covered. And it's the same today for the church. For the church throughout the world, as well as the church here in the UK. Go out into the world, preaching the gospel, calling people to repent and look in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. As I say, preaching the gospel is primary and is essential. The social gospel has never ever saved anyone, and it never will do. It is only the gospel that we find in the scriptures, the gospel of God, which calls men and women to repent and look in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. But, of course, we cannot ignore people in their situations. And as we minister the gospel, as we seek to share the gospel, then, of course, we must be ready to involve ourselves with acts of mercy. And that can happen in all sorts of varieties of service. But primarily, it is the gospel. But then, because of the gospel, there are those things that we can and should be properly involved in. But not that they should take over, but always remembering the primary thing that the Lord has given them to do there, to go out and preach the gospel. And as we consider our nation at the moment, you don't need me to tell you that we are in an absolute mess. We are in a mess spiritually. We are in a mess morally. There is hardly any integrity left in our politicians. No one has any faith in our government or what proposed to be running the country. No one has trust in so many things today. And there is so much pain and so much anguish and so much hurt that it is only the healing balm of the gospel that can help. And we've been blessed. I would always say that. We have been blessed to serve Christ. You know, we're not just served to say to sit here and wait for heaven. We're saved to serve, aren't we? What a blessing and what a privilege it is to serve Christ wherever he's called us, whatever he asked us to do. And may we, as we go forward in our Christian lives, with all the limitations that we have or may not have, may we have that desire that can only come from him. We need to ask him to give us that desire to be good witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask him and trust him for all that needs on from that. Let's just pray together for a moment. Our dear gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful task that you've given your church, to preach the gospel to whosoever will. And we ask, Lord, that we may be enabled and strengthened, and we may, Lord, have that desire. Lord, that it may be such a desire in our hearts to share Christ with whosoever will, and where that may ever so will may be. We need your gracious help, Lord, in every aspect of this wonderful ministry. And we pray, Lord, you energize and enable each one of us in it. And we pray this in the most precious and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our last hymn is number 779. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. As thou hast sought, so let me seek thy erring children, lost and lone. Number 779.
I erring children.
him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.